and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
I'm John a Lobster. In the distant future, a man wakes up in a pod after 1,000 years of suspended animation and encounters bug-eyed mutants and a world he doesn't recognize. Bad news, everyone. We're not talking about Futurama. We're discussing the 2009 film Pandorum. Starring Dennis Quaid and Ben Foster, this sci-fi horror flop found a cult following online, but does the film deserve to make it to the new world after we blow up this one? I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Okay, stop the press. This has a cult following?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and there's a push. After the film came out, there was a push to, a la Zack Snyder, release the director's cut, the unrated cut of the film, because the implication was that the studio had kind of dumbed it down and cut some of the gore. That never actually materialized.
It seemed like they inserted more gore.
No, I can tell you, I saw a 2.5 hour version of this movie before it was released. People, if you were wondering why we do this weird movie, it's just because we were talking about Event Horizon, and I was like, I remember seeing that thing in previews like years ago.
I think it might have been partially my fault too.
But yeah, I saw a way longer version of this because,
yeah, interestingly enough, the crew that worked on this also worked on Event Horizon. They worked on Alien vs. Predator, the Resident Evil films. So when
it should have been good,
right? Well, when we talk about this film, the first thing I compared it to was Resident Evil in space, and also a little bit of Event Horizon. But that's because that's the pedigree of the film. That's kind of who was behind making the movie.
Can we agree that this movie has like a solid half hour?
Yeah, but I can't figure out which is the solid half hour. So
it's like 5 minutes sprinkled in here or there.
It's 10 minutes at the start and 20 minutes at the end.
So legitimately, this is two different movies. The director, Christian Alvaire, had a script treatment about a bunch of inmates on a prison ship that some of them devolve into cannibals, basically the Reavers from Serenity.
Yep.
And the producer, Jeremy Bolt and Paul Anderson, had another script about basically an arc of humans escaping a dying Earth. And so they mashed those two scripts together and they changed Pandorum, which was the name of the prison ship, to Elysium, the Ark ship, and just renamed the movie Pandorum and made that the disease of the mind that you get after watching this movie.
And on paper, that's a great idea, what you just described. You pitched this? That's a great pitch.
It's got a lot of, I don't know, threads that we see in everything else from Passengers to, you know, this generation ship where a few people wake up and this and that goes
sunshine
down.
Sunshine in a way.
It's all these little things that kind of we've seen and we've felt. So, I don't know. I smoothed over a lot of the rough bits the first time I saw it. But
there are some rough bits. There's a lot of rough bits. There's a lot that doesn't make sense.
Right.
Yep.
There's this pods, and there's all these pods of people, and so you encounter like the farmer who is also a martial artist, and you go, oh, okay, cool, and then you encounter the geneticist, who is also a martial artist, like badass martial artist. So it's like these kind of random things where, okay, you know, you wanted to make the psychological thriller about the, you know, the effects of long-term space travel and stuff like that, and you also wanted to make the martial art electronica scored action movie. Like,
you see, I want the first movie you just described, but I don't want the second one.
Right. Well, it's in there whether you want it or not. This movie is in equal measure. It is the kung fu stuff and also the psychological stuff.
If it was more of the psychological stuff, more of the generation ship, more of the disease, even the virus, less of the flashy quick cuts of zombie monster people and less Hong Kong shit.
So there's also Red Dwarf is another, I think, informant here. So I referenced Futurama at the beginning, but there's actually, I got a really strong Red Dwarf vibe. So in Red Dwarf, Lister is in suspended animation for like a million years, and he wakes up, and not only is he the last human, but the cat that he smuggled on board, which was why he was punished with suspended animation to start with, has evolved into a humanoid. So, or like over, you know, the millennia, it has evolved into a humanoid species. So, you know, there's interesting things there that you can play with, but I feel like this movie isn't so much interested in the big questions as it is, let's get to the mutant gore.
Yeah, that's where the movie fails.
It does have Norman Reedus in it, though.
It's briefly,
a hot minute.
And there's also a lot of Alien Resurrection, I think, here as well. Yeah. That was another movie that I was having flashbacks to, especially when you meet the guy living in the pod room who basically gives you the exposition in hieroglyphics, and then you see the lightning bolts coming out of Dennis Quaid's head.
Oh, God.
I mean, don't forget, like, this movie goes in straight up bonkers territory, and the bonkers in the movie doesn't bother me. That I think it's actually kind of interesting, the twist where he's imagining the young guy that he's talking to is himself. That's kind of interesting.
I like that twist.
I like that when he wakes up, the guy's like, "Oh, you're Corporal Bauer," and he goes, "Bauer, right." But I like that maybe he doesn't remember who he is, or maybe he does, or it kind of all comes back to him, and he doesn't want to believe it at first. But
the weird version I saw, it is that you understood that the guy that dies in the chute with the tube, the first guy we encounter, basically, yeah, well, the first dead guy, is that he used to do that on a regular basis. He used to repeat that and send people out to try to get to that point, try to do this. And basically, he put himself back into suspended animation by going crazy. You know, when he put the other guy in it, and you're thinking, okay, which one is in the tank, actually? Is it the old one or the young guy? That was the twist, the extra twist in that version of the movie. But, like I said, that was an over 45-minute more stuff that, dear God, the movie was long.
Yeah, I can't imagine this movie being longer than it is. It didn't hold my attention and interest in the running time that there was. And I really had a hard time finding who I was rooting for. Like, at one point, I'm rooting for the mutants, right? Like, they're a new species. We should kind of let them just do their thing, man. Like, I don't know.
The other twist that I like is that we're underwater. Like, basically, the ship got
it landed. Yeah, it did its mission. It just landed in the lake, and they're stuck there.
Yeah.
But no one figured that out quicker?
Ever?
Ever?
Nobody opened the window?
I really did like the
there are no stars.
The ejection mode, like how you eject all the pods. It's just kind of like a starburst. Yep. Poof, yep. You know?
And then the lid flies open. They crawl out of their tin can.
They're laying on the bottom of the ocean, so when they hit eject at the end, half those pods got just shot into the ground.
Yep.
In theory.
Right. Because they're made to eject in space.
Those are just the ones that weren't open and eaten by the cannibal mutants.
That's the worst plan ever.
How many people, like, their pod lands and they get out and they're like, "Well, I don't know how to swim. Like, oh, I don't even know who I am. I've been in suspended animation for a thousand years.
Was that supposed to be a twist?
I think so. Okay. I mean, there's a couple twisty twists. I mean, the one is that he's the guy that was in the original crew and has just kind of like leapfrogged his way through. The other twist is that the mutants are descendants of people that woke up first but then kind of evolved. But I guess theoretically everyone has that now in them. So are they all just going to evolve into the mutants anyway? Like, was that a bad batch of whatever drug they gave them? Or was that like the only thing they could evolve into on the ship?
Because they had nowhere to go other than the ship.
And it's interesting that there were no good mutants. They were just all bad mutants.
Well, mutants are bad.
Think about it. It's survival of the fittest. So the guy gets his nose cut and he's still running. So he seemed to be the tribe leader. So, yeah, of course you just get these stupid shit.
They're breeding. Well,
they're fucking,
they are.
Of course.
What
Come
else?
On.
What else do they have to do?
Right.
Once you run out of people to eat and start eating yourselves,
you eat other people's part. Okay. Yeah. Fair.
Listen, this is I don't even know. There's a kernel of a good movie in here, but again, I feel like it's territory that's been explored elsewhere and probably better. And honestly, as I was watching this movie, I'm like, why couldn't this be a comedy with Randy Quaid and Justin Timberlake?
Oh, my God.
Because I was like, that's what I want. Like, I want this to be a comedy and just, like, similar but different.
Let's write and make this movie. I love that idea. This is a great idea. Copyright Legends Podcast 2018.
Yep. Yeah, it's you already it sold. Right Someone stole it already.
We'll call it Pandora Dumb.
Don't call it dum dum dum.
Ah, well, I mean, it's, you know, it's a kind of fun looking sci-fi movie for a bit anyways, and then again it just goes back to the flashy monster cutscene shit. So
after 45 minutes I was like, I'm sure Beef is having the time of his life though.
No. The good thing with this movie is it only cost $33 million to make. The bad thing is it only made $20 million and it almost immediately bankrupted the studio that produced it. And one of my favorites, so I linked to an article about this in our show notes that you can look up. I got it from the Wikipedia page on Pandorum. There's actually, there were two guys who worked for the studio that were basically accidentally copied on the email that fired them or that talked about firing them. So then they resigned before the company like could fire them, but they were just like accidentally copied on the email. We've all been there, right?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You know when you get in the morning and your access don't work anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I feel like this gets explored in, I mean, Black Mirror could maybe do something like this.
Oh, yeah.
But much better. I just don't see much redeeming value.
Oh, but in 2009, put that in my mind, it would be great.
2009, it was kind of not really at all new or fresh.
It was already
right.
Bossy.
No, I mean, it was like I already referenced a bunch of things that had done this or similar. And also, this is the time when like J.J. Abrams is doing Star Trek and revitalizing what we thought was kind of tired, boring stuff, but finding new angles to make it fun. And I just think this just didn't have the mojo.
It just needed J.J. Abrams to give it mojo.
Needed something. It didn't
so, shall we rate it then, I guess?
Yes, we should.
I'm ready if you are.
All right, Wing, for Pandorum, are you going legendary?
The Pandorica opens.
Legend of its time.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Cult legend.
Pandora's Box.
Awesome.
Red Rum.
Entertaining.
Pandemonium.
Mabel.
Panhandling.
Forgettable.
Why's the room gone?
Abysmal.
Mists of Pandaria.
Spring Breakers Highlander D&D.
Pandorum!
Hey, you're cheating there.
No, I'm using this movie because it belongs on the list. It belongs at the bottom.
That's it. So you're showing your hand just by writing
I'm showing my hand
the
right
thing.
There. I don't think I need to say anything else.
I'm actually going to give this a Mabel. Ugh. I was expecting a 2.5 hour movie, so when it was 1 hour and 45 minutes, I was like, oh, they kept kind of the good stuff. There's at least some good half hour in there.
You deliberately forced it on us.
I think I started it. But.
Yeah. Oh, no. And sometimes I want to rewatch these movies because I'll be honest, since I'm doing Legend, sometimes I'm able to get the Beef perspective and watch a crappy sci-fi and be like, I see what they're doing. doing? They're doing crappy, but I see what they're doing, and I'm still having fun. This movie got me there for, like I said, 30 minutes. The problem is that there's kung fu for like an hour in between that 30 minutes, which I don't care about at all. And then there's this guy who drugs them. You know, at that point, they lost me. But I'm going to give this a mayable. So, beef?
I would almost follow suit because I like the panhandling line, but I got to go forgettable because I pretty much forgot everything except for the 20, 30, 40 minutes that actually had some exposition and a little bit of story to it. I completely forgot about all these zombies running around, and I kind of I remembered some of the twists at the end, so I guess it wasn't forgettable, but that's all it gets for me this time around is, why is the rum gone? Lobster.
Pandorum belongs at the bottom of any list of sci-fi action movies. I think it automatically is disqualified based on it's not quite sure what it is. You know, I think if it was one thing or the other, or even if any of the action had been particularly inspired, then I would have given it some pluses. But again, cannibal mutants are done better in Serenity. Mutants in general are done better in zombie movies and things like Resident Evil. And the psychological sci-fi angle, again, it's interesting, but it's been done better other places. So that doesn't leave anything for this movie to stand out. And I don't honestly think it's well cast. There's no one in the cast that really I like. Dennis Quaid can play a very likable type of character, but he's not. Ben Foster can play a very distant and weird character, which he kind of is, but at the same time, you're not sure if you like and or trust him throughout the movie. So it doesn't.
That's a quality that I found good. If there's one thing I would say like that I found really good was Ben Foster. I think Dennis Quaid just mailed that in, but.
Yeah, I don't see it for me. I like Ben Foster and a lot of stuff that he does, but this isn't it.
Fair.
All right. Last word on Pandorum, fellas.
When's a sequel?
The future?
Mm. I guess if the planet blows up and we forget that this movie was made, then maybe they'll remake it.
Or we're doomed to follow in our footsteps.
Can't learn from our mistakes. Beef, what time be it?
News time.
All right, well, we took a week off, so we've got a lot to catch up on. First, the box office. What do you guys think?
I am excited to see Ant-Man and the Wasp. I've heard from three or four of my nerdy friends that it is quite fun.
It is quite fun. I think, especially after Infinity War, it's a very different movie.
No comments. We're just back at making Marvel movies.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a bad thing for Wayne.
When I'm
but you didn't you didn't like Infinity War, so like, where does that leave?
I love the first Ant-Man.
Okay.
I just love that movie. I love the fact that it was a caper. I love the fact all this. This movie that I watched, didn't know. I the villain is a two-bit De Niro impersonator. I mean, that's the villain of the movie. It didn't work for me. It just didn't work. Thank God there was humor and the characters were likable. At least I had a good time, but that's pretty much it.
Wow. Okay. Lobster, your 30-second rebuttal?
I thought it was really good. I thought it was a really good story that had real stakes and real consequences for the characters, but it wasn't a, oh my God, we have to stop the world from exploding kind of story. It was a little bit more intimate than that. It deals with family. It deals with sort of personal choices and consequences rather than this world-ending threat that has to be prevented. And I also think that it's a heck of a lot of fun. Like, it just is fun and it's breezy and it is fun in the superhero sense, but it's also not, you know, it's not Infinity War. It doesn't have to be that level of spectacle. And I think that's one thing that after those films, it's good to know that Marvel can still pull it back.
Good. Well, I'm excited to see it. And, oh, I saw Sicario: Day of the Soldado. So you guys should give it some money because it's not doing well.
And you saw it in previews, I believe, correct?
Yes, quite some time ago. And it was fun.
How much did it change from your test screening?
Not much at all.
Okay.
Not much.
Overall, was the response positive? Or
yes, when I was there, the response was very positive. I think they were pretty much finalizing some stuff, except for like title and some of the music. But it was very cool to see just the slight differences, you know, a shot they change here or there or whatnot. So what about the first Purge? Anybody going to that?
I don't care. There's a TV show coming anyway, so.
So messed up.
You know, Incredibles is doing great.
Incredibles is doing very well. It's the highest grossing animated film of all time. Now Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom has passed $1 billion worldwide.
Ant-Man and the Wasp
isn't going to do huge great Marvel numbers, but it's doing about 20 million. It opened to about 20 million more than the first one, and I think Marvel is fine with that.
Yeah, it's a very jank 35% more by a day at this moment, so which is very, very good for a sequel. Yep. It's just that we're just used to hear like, yeah, okay, we're going to do this little character called Black Panther, which is going to be the biggest movie of all time.
You know? Yeah, I think Marvel realizes that every movie can't have the breakout success of Black Panther, or it can't have the, you know, enormity Avengers of Infinity War. Yeah.
Whoa, wait. I think Marvel knows. I think people don't know, because some people came to me, it's like, oh, Ant-Man didn't even do 100 million. I was like, was that supposed to? What's,
I think,
what are you
I think
talking
if you
about?
Look at, if you look at Solo, which actually opened better than Ant-Man and the Wasp, Solo was supposed to do 100 million and didn't. I don't think Ant-Man was in their calculus.
Was supposed to make 175.
Just for your guys' reference, I have updated at the bottom of the list, or at the bottom of the news, the current running total for the top five films.
Oh, I'm out.
So far, I have them in the correct order. But,
ew, that was pretty shitty in a good way. It's a very nice underhanded...
I just thought that was easier. Let's go on to news. Again, a lot to cover because we took a week off. Casting, Kerry Russell and Billy Dee Williams have signed on to Star Wars Episode 9. Billy Dee Williams, of course, will reprise his role as Lando Calrissian.
And in other news, water is wet.
Water is wet.
I like Kerry Russell, though. She's nice and fun.
She is nice, and she's a J.J. Abrams staple, so it's not a surprise, I think, that she's going to show up. She said, evidently, she's got some combat scenes or some action scenes, so that'll be fun.
That next topic, though, that was a big surprise for me.
Jeremy Renner joins the Spawn movie, the Blumhouse Todd McFarlane Spawn, so joining Jamie Foxx. And Renner is going to play Twitch, who from the comics is a cop and one of Spawn's allies.
It's my favorite character, actually, so I was very happy.
The next news, Jared Leto getting a Mobius movie. Is that because they took his Joker away?
And gave it evidently back to Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah, there you go.
So one of my favorite things is that Jared Leto is a garbage human being, and on the set of Suicide Squad sent his co-stars used condoms.
I mean, isn't that what you do with your co-stars?
Well, I mean, you can.
I always send mine to beef. Come on.
So another thing is he's playing a vampire, so I figure he's got to send them used tampons now, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't want to know.
And under the file of Wings Masturbatory Fantasies, we have our first look at Teen Titans.
Exactly what I thought of Wings. Looking at this picture and furiously spanking it.
I need a minute.
I have a two-screen setup, and it's two Robins right now.
I'll be in my book.
Right.
And he's on both. Brendan Thwaites as Robin is on both.
He's surrounded by a Robin, Robin bread to his Wings sandwich. Well,
tattooed on his eyelids.
What do you think, Wing? How does he look?
I'm at a point where I don't care if that show sucks. That suits look great, and they just should just use that in the next movie or something. At this point, I'm so excited. How much money do they need me to shell for that service?
Yeah, well, what are the details on the service? Because it's not just a streaming service. You're also getting access to digital comics and things like that.
It's basically a DC comic extravaganza service, which
yeah.
I'm all in for that.
Okay, well, that's kind of the wave of the future, because I think it's going to be we're going to see these platforms spring off. Disney, I know, is working on one.
Disney's going larger than that, because
yeah.
I think is it official? They got Fox now?
No, I don't think they officially have. I think they got Sky, which is...
You know what I'm really looking forward to? When they come out with a thing, maybe we'll call it Line, right? And then we can collect all of these streaming services on one line, and they can bundle all of them and sell them to me at a deal. Just like that old product I just got rid of called fucking cable.
No, yes and no. You know what sucked with cable? Cable actually tells me when I want to watch
it. I know. This will be completely different, but everything. I got... How many streaming services am I going to need now?
You know the difference between you and me? I'm in Canada. This shit is super regulated. So right now I have Amazon and Netflix. And even if I want another one, I think there's only one other option.
But I mean, you know, okay, soon it's going to be DC, then CBS All Access, then Marvel's one, then Disney's one, then you got Hulu, you got your Netflix, you got your Amazon, then you got your HBO Now. I mean... By the time I'm fucking all said and done, I'm going to be paying more for that shit than I ever did cable.
That's what they're trying to do. They're yeah. trying to find their profit somewhere else. They're trying to move your wallet. Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. They're basically saying, well, people paid this and this and this for a bunch of stuff they didn't want, so maybe they'll pay more for stuff they actually do want but never have time to watch.
See, okay, yeah, I'm glad you added that part.
Because if you add my $120 Canadian on Netflix that I put in a year, honestly, some months I'm not sure we watch one thing on it.
Even if for the peace of mind that I get from my sleep time documentaries, whatever those are, Netflix and Amazon are worth it.
The slow TV?
Any historical or any documentary where the guy has a good, nice, monotone, good pacing voice.
Okay, I'll tell you what I watch usually, and that's why probably I don't watch Netflix that much. I watch Netflix. Right now, I'm not in a big movie phase. I'm in a gaming phase, so I watch a movie a week for this show. And I watch TV on YouTube and a website called Documentary Heaven.
Why don't you text me that? Text me that. I need that.
I put the H at the right place for once.
Yeah. One of the things I like on Amazon is they have like... The 2 hour long air conditioner movie, or like Trains of Norway,
right?
Or like that stuff I love. That stuff you can kind of find on YouTube too, but it's nice to have it on the big screen. We also will play. It's called Videos for Cats.
Okay,
and it'll just be like birds and squirrels, but our cat will get super into it. And then she'll actually get to the point where we're afraid she's going to knock the TV over, so we turn it off. And then it's really sad. She looks behind the TV and starts meowing, like, hey, where did my friends go?
If there's the crawl for, like, winter school closings at the bottom, my cat will, like, follow them from one side of the TV to the other. But I do the crappy, crazy documentaries, too, on Amazon, like the, you know, Illuminati, or like the aliens are infesting everyone's brain. I'll listen to those.
The one on Amazon are so good. It's crazy. Could it be?
Yeah. Speaking of aliens, though, Neil Blomkamp, District 9, they're rebooting RoboCop.
RoboCop Returns.
I like the last one. Why are they rebooting? Why are they just sequeling the last one?
I think they're bringing back the old RoboCop.
No.
Get one more out of Peter Weller before he...
What?
Sure, why not?
The news isn't in here, but did you hear that apparently Indiana Jones 72 is pushed back till 2021 release date now.
It's just a year to work on the script. It's not the end of the world.
It's a year because they don't have a script.
Yeah, and right now they're like, oh no, he's going to be 79. He would have been 78. We're talking a year.
I thought it was 2 years. I thought, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And at some point...
And they can just CGI his face on his body or whatever.
That's where I was going, because at some point we had, like, what's his name that was 91 in Lord of the Ring in Star Wars? And he was on a metal album. He was singing
Christopher Lee.
He was on a metal album 6 months before he died. Yep. And then he was doing action movies, and in the end of his 80s. He's okay to play Indiana Jones.
I did not super care for the RoboCop reboot, but I like classic RoboCop. There's a comic book I'm reading right now called RoboCop Citizen's Arrest, which is really cool, which is basically in the future, like, everything is privatized, so they even outlaw the RoboCops.
Okay.
And basically you have, like, social media is the police, so you just turn your neighbor in for doing bad stuff and you get bonus points.
Totally
Black Mirror, right?
Yeah.
And then RoboCop kind of comes back and makes a return. I think that would be cool.
As you said, it's a Black Mirror episode. That's a problem at this point. And
also, comic book sad news. Ditko has passed away.
No.
I think this is really kind of important to remember. Stan Lee has been in the news a lot lately with various personal issues regarding his legacy and estate and things like that, and people using his image or trademark. And Steve Ditko, I think, got kind of lost in the shuffle and is also kind of important to remember. We did Batman and Bill about Bill Finger
a while back. Such a great fucking documentary.
I kind of want that with... I want a Steve Ditko movie kind of showing his contributions.
The difference between Bill and Ditko, though, is that Ditko had his battle in the 80s and he won.
Yeah.
So he has his name on every Spider-Man crap that's getting shit on by Marvel right now, even if he doesn't work on these piece of artwork anymore. So that was at least that. He was not into the big money and all that stuff because he wasn't interested, but he was still drawing comics. Weird, fucked up comics.
Mm-hmm.
But the man is a legend. He basically made Spider-Man viable by having one of the best costume of all time.
I read that too. It was Doctor Strange he was super into and whatnot as well.
Yep.
That's crazy.
He basically created a visual of Doctor Strange. All that fucked up shit, that's all from his mind and or acid trips.
Yeah, well, that's it's too bad he passed. But like you said, all these gentlemen are getting up in age.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was
90
something at this point. I mean, he won at life. He won.
So it's something to mourn, but also to kind of celebrate the contributions that they've had.
It'll be remembered forever, you know.
Trailer dump.
Speaking of
things that will be remembered forever, Skyscraper featuring The Rock opens this weekend.
It's Die Hard.
There's a new trailer to watch.
They even say that it's Die Hard. It's a tribute to Die Hard, so.
Is it?
I don't know. I'm going to tell you next week.
According to Wing, this is the number 5 movie of the summer coming out this weekend. So it needs to do better than, it needs to do better than The Incredibles. Or almost as well as The Incredibles, or whatever Wing thought it might be.
I think it's going to do good in some
ways. Is it going to lead the weekend?
Well, you
is
know,
it
going to
come
have,
in number one?
I just have
is
to
it
beat,
going to be number one this weekend?
Listen, I just have to beat your Solo at number 5 if I want to get that number 5. So,
look, he's The Rock.
Solo's not that bad to beat.
The Rock is a magnet for cash and fun movies. Yes. And how much is this? Is PG-13, right?
Yes. I'm telling you, this could be surprising.
Wing, we see this Friday night at the drive-in in Connecticut.
fuck yeah.
Popcorn.
There you go.
Just hanging. Yeah. This could be so bad it's good. But The Rock,
you know what?
People
we see
in.
This at the drive-in with portable recorder, and we cast on the spot.
Oh, my God. Just record a gag reel.
We both have an H5.
I'd have to find mine. Anyways, other trailers. The
Predator trailer 2. I forgot to watch
this one, actually.
Was this a good trailer?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
It's better than
it's
the
more
first
Predator.
One. It's, yeah. But I've heard that everything we see in this trailer is pretty much been reshot and changed.
Yes.
So, why do they keep showing this trailer? I mean, I guess to sell tickets, but...
The same way they sold Rogue One.
There's only a few shots that were different in Rogue One. Come on, stop it. Well,
after the
whole movie,
after
but whatever.
The trailer, but yeah, there you go.
You know.
No, I know, but you know.
Castle Rock, this makes me actually want to get Hulu.
We don't have Hulu. I'm in Canada.
You have a website or two that you can watch this on.
It's called Netflix.
Right, that's what I meant. So, I don't know. Lobster, are you a Castle Rockian fan?
So, this movie, TV show, I've been looking forward to for a while. I get more excited about it the more I see of it. This trailer goes into a little bit of what it looks like the show is going to be about. They find this kid who, for some reason, has been locked away in the basement of Shawshank Prison and forgotten.
Fucking creepy.
And, yeah. And then he has a connection to somebody else who left Castle Rock and under mysterious circumstances, who then comes back. And then there's all these characters from Stephen King. It's interesting, it's not just people from Stephen King stories, the characters that they're playing, but Bill Skarsgård, who plays the kid, was Pennywise in It. And Terry O'Quinn and Scott Glenn and Sissy Spacek are in it. Like, all these people who have acted in Stephen King stories before are coming back. I mean, come on, she's Carrie, right? Like,
it'll be
a big
cool
deal.
I mean, yeah. Even for non-super fans, you'll still get the hints
and
of what's to tie together.
The reviews that I've read of the first couple episodes basically say, like, if you are a super deep Stephen King fan, there's endless Easter eggs that they throw at you. But if you're just kind of a casual, interesting, like, you get hooked with the mystery stuff. So, again, I think it'll be interesting. It's premiering on Hulu in a couple weeks, but it's also, they're showing the first episode at San Diego Comic-Con, the world premiere. So that'll be cool.
Nice. Well, that has been news.
We did it.
Next time, Legends Podcast, something. We can guarantee you something, because Lobster's gone, yeah. So... We got to see what he doesn't want to do more.
Pandorum, go back in time.
Dude, I'm
and
sorry.
Stop me from watching Pandorum.
We watch crappy movies together. It's a support group.
The man has a point there. It is a support group. So we should watch
sorry,
a really
listeners.
Good movie next week. Babe. Something really good.
It'll probably be one of the two on the list, anyways. So AVP or Wreck-It Ralph, let's be honest. This has been episode 380 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef Sang. I apologize for Pandorum if it was any way, shape, or form my fault.
I'm John D. Sang. No, we are not watching a Transformer movie for next week.
And I am John O. Lobster saying that if I wake up from suspended animation and I'm in Pandorum, the mutants can have me.
You're going to be an early adopter.
I'm done.
Sign me up. Mutant, Team Mutant.
Oh, let's watch Gods of Egypt. Come on, baby.
No, fuck no. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or Kraken Cast. No infringement is intended.